Hey guys, Mike here from the Everyday Photographers Podcast. This is podcast number one. That's right, the very first Everyday Photographers Podcast. This should be interesting. I am by myself. We have no hosts yet. I want to kind of see how this goes. I want to see the flow. I want to see kind of what people think of it before I start adding people into the mix. So today we're talking about Fuji, Sony, and Nikon. Now, all three of these companies have something in common. Yes, they're all photographers, photography cameras. People use them for their professional work, but there's something else. I have very good experience in all three. In fact, I've been shooting Nikon for the past 15 years professionally, and I am ready to make the move to either Fuji or Sony, but the question is, which one will I choose? So, over the past, I'll say 3 to 4 months, I've been dabbling, should I say, in the Fuji and Sony world. And I gotta tell you, I am freaking impressed with Fuji. Fuji is a beast of a system. I've been using the X-T2 system. I wanna get some out of the way. People say that the X-T2's focus is not that great. I gotta tell you, fast-moving subjects, and if you use the focus system correctly, it's fantastic. To be honest with you, I much prefer the Fuji X-T2 focus system over the Nikon D750. But what is it about, just besides the focus system, that really drew me into Fuji? And the question is, did I stay with Fuji? We're going to find that out in a sec. So, let me kind of go over what I started with Nikon. I started with Nikon probably 15 years ago or so with the Nikon D70, the massive beast of a 6.1 megapixel camera. And at that time, I was either going to be a photographer or going to be a pastor. So I remember praying about it for months, if not years. Actually, it was about 3 years. And I remember God was like, nope, you should not be a pastor, but you should be a photographer. No, I did not hear God's audible voice, because that would be weird, but I didn't have different things that happened that were just unexplainable. But that's for a whole other show. So from there, I went to photography school. I got the Nikon D200, and I had the cheapest lens you could think of. I had two lenses. I had the 18-55 kit lens that came with the D750. Then I got my very first ever purchase at B&H Photo. The Nikon 70-300G. Nope, it was a D lens. It actually had the aperture ring on it. So it was a D lens. It was a very, very, very old slow lens. So from there, I went from the D200 to the D300, started shooting weddings with that D200, D300 combo. But I really wanted to go full frame. So my very first full frame was my Nikon D700. I had a pair of those, and to be honest with you, that camera was a joy to use. The D700 is a legend in its own name, but it's a legend within the Nikon community. People who are diehard fans of the Nikon D700. And when I sold it, I gotta be honest, I kind of regretted it. Because from there, I went from the D700 to the, I believe it was a D800 in the Nikon DF. The reason I went to those two cameras was because Nikon, for a long, long time, did not replace the D700. In fact, to this day, they have not replaced the D700. What they actually did, well, there was this gap. They had a lot of beginner cameras. They had the D3000 series, the D5000 series, the D7000 series. And then they had the DF. They had the D90, or is it maybe it might have been the D... Nope, it might have, no, the D7000 replaced the D90. So it had the D7000 series. Then you had the non-replaced D300, which was still... non-replaced. It's been in use for probably a good 8 years, and it's never been replaced until actually the past couple of years. But back then, you had the, like I said, the D3000, the D5000 series, the 3000 series, and then you had the 7000 series. And then you didn't really have anything in between. You went from that to the D300. And then you had the Nikon DF and the 800. So between the D300 and the D800 and the DF, there was just nothing in between. So I dabbled. I'm a dabbler. That sounds so creepy. But I'm a dabbler, and I dabbled between the DF and the D800, and I hated both of those cameras. The DF had the D600 focus system. That's right, there was the D600, and I hated that too because of the focus system was terrible. And so you had the D600, which was a beginner's full frame. You had the DF and the D800. That's what it was. And between the D800 and the D600, there was really nothing there. The D800 was really more of a studio camera. The D600 was a beginner's full frame camera. So there was really nothing for the event photographers. Like I said, I started dabbling with the Nikon DF and the D800, and I hated both of them. The D800 was incredibly slow and incredibly terrible at higher ISOs. The DF was an amazing image quality camera, but the focusing system was terrible. It's like Nikon got to the finish line of building this Cadillac beautiful machined camera and put the worst autofocus system you can think of in it. It was terrible. So from there, I went to the Nikon D750, and I gotta admit, most people have a love-hate relationship with the Nikon D750. I it's actually not a bad camera for the past few years. Only as of late has it really been giving me issues, but it's fast. There was a terrible, you know, buffer on it, which gives you about 12 uncompressed 14-bit raw images on it. But when are you really shooting, if you're a wedding photographer, rapid fire that much? It's a good camera. 24 megapixels, that's great. And it's not a 4K video camera. But then again, most photographers who are wedding photographers are not shooting 4K or even 1080. To be honest with you, they're barely even doing video. So 4 years goes by, I use the D750, great camera, but then things started happening. I noticed my focus was starting to get way off. So my first thing, it must be me. I'm not perfect. I can't walk on water. My name is not Jesus, though that would be pretty cool. So what I did, I did what any fine person would do. I would do the autofocus fine tune, still not fixed. I send it to Nikon. They replaced the mirror box on both cameras. Still not fixed. So I began to dabble. And as you can probably guess, I'm a dabbler. I'll say it again. So I dabbled in Fuji. I got to tell you something. I was freaking blown away by Fuji. Fuji's image files beat the living crap out of Nikon. They kill Nikon. I've never seen such images sharp come out of a camera when I was using the Fuji X-T2. The 56 1.2 from Fuji is my favorite lens of all time. They have the 23, which is a great lens. I will say the Nikon does have a big advantage over the Fuji. Now, here's one thing. If you're big on the bokeh or the blur in the background in layman's terms, the wider the lens in the smaller sensor systems, that's when you really start noticing the lack of bokeh. The Nikon 35 1.4G was just a beautiful, and still is a beautiful, beautiful lens. And when you shot at 1.4, the separation was beautiful. Fuji, not so much, but overall, that lens is a lot sharper than the Nikon. The 35 1.4, which is the 50 equivalent in the Fuji, outstanding. Nikon is known to have terrible, terrible 50 millimeters. Now, the 58 millimeter is a great lens. It's not known for the sharpness, but it's known for the very characteristic of the blur or the bokeh in the background. But the 51.4G, the 51.4D are horrible, wide open. The 35 1.4 Fuji, on the other hand, is absolutely stunning. Yes, it focuses slow, but The images that come out of that lens, using that lens, are unbelievable. So as you can see, I absolutely love the Fuji system, but here's the big but. I had the Fuji system for about 3 to 4 months, and I sold everything. And you're thinking, Mike, why the heck would you sell everything if you like the Fuji system? Here's the thing. I'm gonna be totally honest with you. I bought the X-T2. I love the X-T2. It's the most enjoyable camera I've ever used. But within the first 3 months, I had to replace the shutter, the ISO dial, and the i-cup. So I'm like, okay, let me just work with this. So first thing that broke was the shutter. I sent it to a camera repair company in New York. They go, it's fixed. I get it back. I'm shooting a wedding in Block Island, and it is not fixed. And it still has the same issue. What the issue was, every few hundred images, I would take a picture, and the image would come out black. And at first, I'm thinking maybe the lens cap was on, maybe, or just maybe, my camera settings were producing a black image because of the camera settings, you know, a high shutter, high aperture, low ISOs, of course, black image. Not the case. Not the case at all. So I sent it again. And finally, it got fixed. That was over a month and a half period. So, shooting a wedding. Actually, this before the very first wedding I shot with the Fuji X-T2, the ISO dial broke off. I have no clue. Now, I do baby my gear for the most part. I know I am an everyday photographer. I use it every single day, but I do baby it. If it's not in my bag, it's in my hand. If it's not in my hand, it's in my bag. I like to have nice stuff, but I use the heck out of my stuff too. So could it have been my fault? Sure, but I guarantee you it's not my fault. Then I was shooting a wedding, and then I took the camera out of the bag. The i-cup busted. So I'm like, okay, my love for Fuji is so strong, I'm gonna keep on going. So I did. X-T3 came out. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the Fuji X-T2, everything's been good for about a few weeks. Let me just go with the X-T3 and make the switch from Nikon to Fuji. But I didn't go ahead and sell all my Nikon stuff. I just went to Fuji, got two cameras and three on three lenses or four lenses, and let me give it a go. The very first wedding I shot with the Fuji X-T3, the ISO dial broke. Like, that was it. That was the final straw. The final straw. And I sold all the Fuji stuff. I couldn't take it. It's like you're dating a girl, and she just takes your heart, and she owns your heart. You're in love, and she smashes it to the ground. And that's exactly what happened with Fuji. I was in love with Fuji. They had my heart. I loved the image quality. It was beautiful. The relationship was going well. There were some bumps in the road. Then all of a sudden, boom! Fuji broke my heart. So I'm thinking to myself, I really don't want to go back to Nikon. I'm not happy with Nikon right now. Let me try Sony. This past weekend, I shot my first wedding with Sony. Overall, it went fantastic. Fan-freaking-tastic. The images are not as good as Fuji, but I would say if Fuji was a 10, Sony's a 9. The 35 1.4 on Sony is beautiful. The 85 1.8 beat the heck out of my Nikon 1.4, 85 1.4G. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lens. The 16 to 35 is okay. The 16 to 35 F4, to be more specific. I use that for real estate. It's good, but it's extremely slow focusing. Terrible on the dance floor. It was hunting all night. The 35 was well, and the 85, there's a little bit of a hiccup on the focusing. There might be an issue with the lens. I'm sending it back. I'm getting a new one this week. So this brings me to my next question. I remember if Trevor Holden, if you are listening, or if you're listening to the recorded podcast, I'm going to give you a compliment here. And Trevor kind of kicked me in the pants and was like, Mike, it doesn't matter. And I said to myself, what do you mean? He's like, gear doesn't matter. Gear does not matter. What matters is the moments being captured. Now, Trevor is one of my closest friends, and he tends to speak truth into me sometimes. Even when I don't tell him he's right, he is right sometimes. Does gear actually matter, and does gear make you a better photographer? I was thinking the other day, I've owned a lot of cameras. A lot of cameras. Let's kind of go over this right now. Just Nikon alone, I had the Nikon D70, D200, D300, DF, D800. I had the D750. Now, with Panasonic, I had the GX8. I'm sorry, the G8, the GX7, the GH5. With Sony, I've had the A7 III. I've had the A6500. With Fuji, I've had the X-T2, X-T1, I've had the X-T3, and the X-E1. So let's just say I've had my fair share of cameras. And as you know, different cameras have different sensor sizes. And one of my favorite images I've ever taken was on a Micro Four Thirds camera. Now, if you don't know anything about Micro Four Thirds, the image quality is good, but there's many, many, many benefits to having a bigger sensor camera like an APS-C or a full-frame camera, or let alone a medium format. But my point is, and I get it, and in my head it makes sense, but my wallet does not make sense. Gear doesn't matter. What matters is the moment captured. The first thing people look at when they see an image is not the composition. It is not the, is there too much noise? They might look, if the focus is way off, sure, to look at that. But if something is slightly out of focus, they don't look at that. What they look at is the moment captured. So yes, Trevor, you are 100% correct. Do I agree with you? Absolutely. But here's the thing I want to say. Gear does matter. Yes, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but gear does make your job easier. For instance, if you are a carpenter and you're hammering in nails, you could have a hammer, a manual hammer, and hammer in nails on the roof when you're doing a roofing job, or you could have a nail gun. Yes, the hammer is going to get the job done, but the roofing the automatic nail gun is going to get the job done faster and easier. So when you're buying gear, and I say this hypocritically, but trust me, you really need to think about this. When you're buying gear, will your gear make your job easier and make you more money? That's the thing. Those are the two things to answer when you're buying gear. If your job is going to be easier and make you more money, no brainer, go for it. But make sure you have the money. And make sure you can afford it. Because the worst thing you want to do is get in debt over gear. You're not making money. Always tell people this. If photography is just a hobby, don't go crazy. Get just the basics. But if you're doing it as a business, yes, go ahead and buy what you need. Now, if the gear is just going to make your job easier, but not actually make you money, then you really got to start thinking, is it really worth it? Now, if it's going to make you money overall, then go for it. Money, no question, go for it. Make your job easier. Sometimes you have to suck it up and just deal with it. What do you guys think? Do you guys actually think gear makes you a better photographer? Do you think that the only way to buy new gear is if it makes your job easier and makes you more money? Let me know. Do you guys actually have a story kind of like mine where you literally have bought almost every single camera that was made by every manufacturer in the past couple of years? Do you guys have gas syndrome, gear acquisition syndrome? I definitely have had it in the past. I am a recovering addict from that as well. Let me know, guys. And guys, this was the very first podcast. Let me know what you think. Did I babble too much or did I make some sense? All right, guys, there will be another podcast. I can guarantee it. When? I have no idea. But my goal is to do it once a week for the foreseeable future. All right, guys, this is Mike with the Everyday Photographer Podcast. Enjoy, have a great day. Until the next podcast, talk to you soon. You know, man.